This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A lawsuit that challenges North Carolina's voting law is on hold now after state lawmakers passed more changes to the photo ID requirements. The delay in the case comes just days after the General Assembly approved a bill that eases some of the voting restrictions approved earlier. That measure is now sitting on the governor's desk. Both sides in the lawsuit asked for more time to figure out how the new rules might affect their cases. But they're racing against the countdown to North Carolina's 2016 primary elections coming up in March. Mark Binker's been following the story. He's a multimedia investigative reporter for WRAL, and he joins me from the legislature now. Mark Binker, welcome back. Good to talk with you.
Good to talk to you.
Tell us about the current law now. The governor has yet to sign this bill that the General Assembly has passed. So what does the current law say about voter ID?
Yeah, the current law that was passed in 2013 says that basically, with few exceptions, you need a current state-issued photo identification in order to vote. And there are some loopholes around for folks who had, for example, turned 70 and allowed their ID to lapse. But for the most part, the vast majority of voters would need a photo ID to vote under the 2013 law. And this, what was passed last week, softens that quite a bit in some people's eyes.
All right. And tell us how.
It provides a couple of different outs. One, it says if you show up during the early voting period and you can still apply for by mail absentee ballot, the election officials are supposed to walk you through that. And it allows a procedure, or creates a procedure that says, look, if I have not been able to get an ID, and there's a procedure in the 2013 law for even people to get a free ID for the express purpose of voting, if I've been unable to get to that because my work schedule hasn't allowed, or I haven't had transportation, or you know somebody stole my wallet and I don't have my driver's license anymore, you can sign what's called an affidavit of reasonable impediment. And by signing that affidavit, you would be allowed to vote a provisional ballot, provided that you provide some other form of ID. That other form of ID could be the last four of your social and your birthday. It could be your voter registration card. It could be what are generally called HAVA documents, which is the Help America Vote Act, things like a water bill that has your name and address on it.
Right, and how much so that, and then you then get a provisional ballot. How much discretion would poll workers have in accepting that affidavit? Do they have to accept it?
The way the law is written and the way it looks like, and this is sort of a new provision, so nobody's really had a way to test it out or write rules about it. But what it looks like is the poll workers would take this information and then record it and say, yes, we're going to take it. And the thing about a provisional ballot, it doesn't get put in with the rest of the ballots that go into the machine that you would vote on election day. They're kind of held aside until the canvass a week or so after the election. And it would be up to the Board of Elections to say, yes, this person gave a reasonable reason that they couldn't obtain a photo ID, so we'll allow their ballot to vote. But then, you know, at the Board of Election, or when you show up at the polls, those workers basically would take your information, basically take it at face value and allow
right. you vote. And then we'll check it later. In the meantime, yep. If it's all checks out, we'll run your vote through. If not, we'll throw it out. So yep. So that's what happens now in this new law. The 2013 law, of course, is the subject of at least two legal challenges, one in the federal courts and one in the state court. And I guess this may well have had something to do with the legislature's decision to soften what had been the most restrictive voting laws in the country, right?
Yeah, I mean, the timing is curious, if nothing else. You had the state court lawsuit was due to go into some preliminary motions this week. The federal lawsuit sort of starts in earnest next week. So the timing is at least notable. What the leaders who crafted this, and it kind of showed up at the last minute as far as legislative process is concerned, said was we were merely listening to feedback from voters. But yeah, the timing of those lawsuits is pretty on the nose.
So let's talk a little bit about those lawsuits and what they allege and why they're challenging the 2013 law.
Yeah, the federal lawsuit is pretty broad. It has a lot of different defendants in it, and it goes after a lot of different aspects of the law, not only the voter ID provision, but how early voting is timed, your ability to do same-day registration, lots of different things that people see as potentially a detriment to poor voters or voters likely to be at the margins. The state lawsuit is much more focused. It was brought by the League of Women Voters, the A. Philip Randolph Institute, as well as a couple of individual voters, and it focused particularly on the ID provisions. So you can see, you know, if you're changing the ID requirement, you're softening it, why sort of both parties went, well, we need to consider how this is going to affect our case here. If your whole case revolves around that voter ID provision and you're changing it significantly, I think both sides just felt they needed time to work through what it meant for that case.
All right. And that's the state lawsuit. Does it have any effect on the federal lawsuit?
We don't know. My guess and I guess informed guess would be that perhaps a part of the state federal lawsuit might be affected by it. But since it's so much broader and applies to so many different things, even if a judge were to say, well, listen, this this voter ID piece is moot at this point, there's so many other pieces that there'd probably be reason to proceed with that anyway.
All right. So now you certainly if you're party to a lawsuit and somebody's made a change in the key provision in your challenge to the law, you're going to want to take some time, see what it means. Meanwhile, Democrats have been outspoken in their criticism of this legislation since it was proposed and passed back in 2013. There had been no significant voter fraud in the state of North Carolina. Curious about why they did it. And, of course, the Democrats very critical from the start. Have they commented at all on these provisions, the softening of this law, and any sense that it placates some of their initial complaints?
What they have said, what people who are opponents of the law have said, is that it makes what they consider a bad law better. It was interesting. There was sort of a big process complaint because this popped into a conference report at the last minute, which is, you know, for folks who don't spend their lives down on Jones Street, basically the House and Senate had passed different versions of the bill. They went to work out their differences. And when the bill came back, it contained this new thing that nobody had seen before it landed on the floor. So it was brand new and pretty much in a space of a couple hours between coming to light, it passed and it was headed off to the governor's desk. So there was a big process complaint. You didn't let us have any input on this, but most people, it passed by overwhelming majorities with both Republican and Democrat support here at the legislature, because I think the Republicans saw this as something they needed to do in order to make their law hold up over the long term. I think you saw a lot of Democrats saying, well, it moves us in the right direction. So, you know, while they didn't like the process, a lot of opponents of the bill voted for this tweak to it because they saw it as moving in the right way.
All right. The state voting law requires a photo ID at the polls starting in next year's election. This has been kind of a staged legislation that went into effect in stages over time. The lawsuits would limit the amount of time before the provision goes into effect. I mean, I'm wondering, in terms of the timing and the start of the 2016 election cycle, which law is going to be in effect when, you know, right now? I mean, the lawsuit's on hold, so clearly there won't be any changes in the next couple of months, right?
Well, and what Judge Morgan said earlier this week was that he wanted both sides to kind of report back on how the lawsuit would be affected, that they're supposed to do that by July 2nd. He's supposed to, later in the month, kind of give notice of how the suit's going to proceed. So it's not a huge delay. But yeah, there's a certain amount of urgency. I mean, the first time these ID requirements were supposed to be used was in the presidential primary that's going to be presumably in March next year. So this is something they very definitely want to have worked out before then. And it was actually an issue raised by people who had brought the lawsuit in the state lawsuit. They said, even if our long-term problem is solved here, we have a concern because everybody's been getting information and voter education based on the 2013 law for the past 2 years. So if there's a big switch that's going to affect how people go to the polls, they were concerned about just that sort of voter information piece. Can all that information get out in time in order for people to exercise their franchise next year?
All right. And as we've said, the state lawsuit now is on hold as both sides figure out what these changes mean. And we say it's been passed by the General Assembly. It's been with bipartisan support. The governor's very likely to sign it. It hasn't been signed yet, just to let you know exactly where that legislation is. But now, in terms of the lawsuit, any idea when the legal process would resume, when both sides would say, okay, we've figured it out, we're going forward now? Do we know when we might get a decision like that?
Both sides are supposed to report back to the court by July 2nd in a letter that will say essentially, here's either where we think where we both think things stand, or here's where one side thinks things stand and the other side thinks things stand. We're talking about a delay of a couple weeks, and the only reason that would be remarkable in any legal, you know, in most lawsuits you have delays, you have postponements, you have extra filings, what have you. The only reason that's remarkable is because, as the judge said on Monday, you know, the clock is ticking here. We've got to get this resolved. We've got to figure out what we're doing before next year.
All right, Mark, we will stay tuned. Thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem.
Mark Binker is a multimedia investigative reporter for WRAL. He joined us from the state legislature in Raleigh. Just ahead, cultural anthropologist Charles Thompson tells us the stories he heard as he traveled across the Mexican-U.S. border, a 2,000-mile span. Lots of stories, and you'll hear them on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.